I don't believe in all my years, almost 40, in the pastorate, while I've mentioned different abominations, I don't believe I've ever preached an entire message. Actually, it ends up being two on the abominations in the Bible, what they are. Now, looking at where we review a little bit this morning in Sunday school, Proverbs 15:9 says, "The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord." So you can have God's judgment if you live a life that is an abomination to the Lord, that's a stench in his nostrils that he hates. Or the second half of the verse in Proverbs 15, verse 9 says, "But he that loveth him, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness." So there's no middle of the road here. Either you're living a life that stinks, or you're living a life that is righteousness, that is righteous and pleases the Lord. I told you again that the word abomination, abominations, abominable, abominably occurs 176 times in our King James Version of the Bible. And part of the meaning is it means extreme hatred or to detest something. It also is talking about articles that are detested, hated, or a stench in God's nostrils. Hence, you have defilement, pollution in a physical sense, or evil doctrines and practices, which are moral defilements. You got idols that are an abomination to the Lord. These are all called abominations. So basically, whatever is an object of extreme hatred is called an abomination. Now, I tried to break things up for you a little bit. I'm not dealing at all with the ceremonial law of Israel. The ceremonial law of Israel has been it has no hold on us, the sacrifices and so on. We're not dealing with that. However, God's moral law and his abominations, they do still apply for us today. And we told you, as the study notes say, that the strongest word in the Old Testament, translated abomination, is to abaw. Not that you remember that, but there's different degrees of abomination, and this is as bad as it gets. To abaw is as bad as it gets. And we looked very, very clearly at idolatry, idol worship, even yet today, is an abomination to the Lord. Isaiah 44:19, it says, "And none considered in his heart, neither is there knowledge or understanding of what I say. I have burned part of it in the fire. Also, I have baked bread upon the coals thereof. I have roasted flesh and have eaten it. And shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stock of the tree?" And that's talking about idol worship, and it's talking about the residue and residue of idolatry. And so we saw that idolatry is and was and still is an abomination to the Lord. The next thing that I'm going to deal with is on page 2 of the study notes, about halfway down. You have a picture of Molech on that page, one of the detestable idols that was worshipped by the pagans and that Israel worshipped as well. And we read to you this morning about Ahab leading Israel into the worship of all these false gods. But everything akin to magic or divination is an abomination to the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 18, if you have your Bibles there, and turn with me, and you'll be surprised where I am taking this, but it's true. Deuteronomy chapter 18, 9 through 12, it says, "When thou art come into the land," Deuteronomy 18, verse 9, "when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations." And then he gives a listing. "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire." Two things there. You see the little picture in the study notes there of the baby in the arms of Molech. They did child sacrifice there. And we'll look at that specifically a little bit later. But God says that's an abomination. Today, while they're not putting the baby in the arms of Baal, they're sacrificing it on the altar of selfishness by abortions left and right. And it's no different than the Molech worship or the Baal worship of times past. Names change, but the idea is the same. Babies are a nuisance, and so early, late-term abortions, it's the same evil plan behind that. Or divination, that's predicting the future. There's a great deal of people who are interested in their horoscopes or interested in predicting the futures, or an observer of the times. They read the stars. What a crazy business it is. A backslidden Christian, and one who used to be a member, called me up, and she had gone to a fortune teller. The fortune teller was over on 27th Street. I think the house may still be there. She may still be in business. And she told the fortune teller over there that she was a Christian. And the lady said, "Oh, I have a Bible." And she read him. The lady read him stuff in the Bible and then proceeded to cast her fortune. What abomination that is before the Lord, friends. An enchanter or a witch or a charmer, a consulter with familiar spirits. That's a channeler. They've changed today. I got to tell you, one of the greatest dangers to our culture today, in my opinion, is Oprah Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey is solid New Age, and on satellite radio she has her spiritual talks, and she brings in New Age people. She promotes New Age books, and we got people by the millions eating out of Oprah's hands, and she is promoting the New Age left and right. If you were in my class last semester, we played some clips of Oprah there, and everybody is so enamored with Oprah. And if I were to take a hand raise, I would hope it wouldn't be true, but I would bet you there's a lot of people who watch her program and follow Oprah and maybe have even gotten some of the books of the New Agers that she's promoted. I could give you a list of the names. But anyway, she was raised a Baptist, as I understand it, but she rejects biblical salvation and doesn't believe in sin as the Bible teaches. And while it might be cast in a little different light than we hear there, the New Age movement is nothing more than old age occultism, friends. For all these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Reading the articles in the Racine Journal Time, Dean faithfully brings me articles from the Racine Journal Time, because I don't get the Racine Journal Time. And then Keith gets me articles from the Milwaukee Journal, and most all of the things that are in our newspapers today have to do with the New Age when they're talking about spirituality, when they're talking about the occult. They don't identify it as the occult, but that's exactly what it is. When you start reading those articles, when you see things about contemplative prayer and all this movement that's going on today, what you have here is the old occult renamed, repackaged, and then not only that, but you have Indian religion that's repackaged as well, and people are believing in reincarnation, thinking it's some good thing, when really it's a curse, friends. Not only a curse, it's an abomination. And the Bible says it's an abomination, and it's still an abomination today. Involvement in the occult is still an abomination today. Let's take our Bibles and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Acts, and we'll just see. Somebody says, "Well, that's just all Old Testament." No, it isn't. In Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, we read this, looking down let's start at verse 4. It says, "So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister, he was their helper. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. I want to stop there just a minute. I don't know, but Madonna has popularized Jewish occultism. You know what that is, don't you? That's the Kabbalah. And she's made that very popular. There's a lot of movie stars who are involved in the Jewish occultism and Kabbalah. And here we have one named Bar-Jesus. What does Bar-Jesus mean? Bar-Jesus means son of Jesus. So he's calling himself the son of Jesus. Hey, I'm the son of Jesus. You better listen to me. That's exactly what's going on here. It says, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, and the sorcerer there is a magician, a wizard. It says, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. People who are involved in the occult. I've witnessed to people who are involved in the occult. Yes, talked to and witnessed to witches. And they don't want Jesus. They might want to add Jesus on their altar or maybe a statue of Mary or something like that. But they don't want Jesus only. I remember talking to a lady in Madison, Wisconsin, and getting into a debate with her. And she said, well, I was raised a Southern Baptist and I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And whether it's Jesus or whether it's Buddha, or whoever it is, we all serve the same God. No, we don't. And Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, now look at this is his characterization of this magician, of this occult practitioner. It says, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil. Thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? I remember going to the Parliament for World Religions, the 100th anniversary down in Chicago. And I remember Chuck Colson and him speaking down there and receiving his award from the Templeton Foundation. John Marks Templeton is the Templeton group was ahead. I don't know, even know whether he's alive yet today, but he gave out $1 million to Chuck Colson, and I just want to tell you, it was so appalling to me as I sat there, and there was a Muslim who opened in prayer. Then he was introduced by a rank New Ager, and then he got up, Charles Colson got up and said, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, but stopped there. He did not say, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, and gave his little thing. He accepted his $1 million from the New Age Templeton Foundation, and then a priest in a saffron robe stood up at the end and prayed to his higher self. Now talk about a mess, friends. But that's a lot of what's going on in what's called Christendom today. People are mixing all this stuff together. I'll tell you what, God is not impressed at all. If you if you have your Bibles, if you turn to Acts chapter 16, verse 16 through 18 now. In Acts chapter 16, verse 16, we have a demon-possessed fortune teller. If somebody does have the power to tell the future, to divine the future, it is demonic. Most of them are fakes. Most of them are fakes. But if they do possess the power, it says, and it came to pass in Acts 16:16, as they went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed of a spirit of divination. If you look up the word, it says the spirit of Python in the Greek New Testament. Spirit of divination, menos. It says, which brought her masters much gain through soothsaying. What is that? That's fortune telling. In the fortune telling business, there's all kinds of fortune telling. Tarot card reading, tea leaf reading, channeling. There's all kinds of fortune telling. You can fortune tell of marbles if you want to, I guess. It says, the same followed Paul and us. Man, that I don't want to be advertised by some demonic fortune teller, neither did they. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, here's what she was saying. These men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. Now, I don't suggest that you do that today at all. I think that was a New Testament thing that you could do. You don't want to be trying to exercise things today. I'll tell you about that in just a moment here. He came out the same hour. So what happened? Here is this damsel who had made a lot of money for her handlers, for her pimps, if you would. And when her master saw that the hope of their gain was gone, she lost her power when the demons were gone. When the demon was gone. They caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. So here they are. They're in this area, and they're trying to get after them and trying to stop them because they have thrown out this devil that was responsible for the powers of this. Now, I've got to go back a little bit today. I have gotten calls over the years from parents who want me to cast out demons out of their children who are involved in occult things and some people themselves. Let me just tell you something. That is not our realm, friends. Let me explain something to you. When somebody is unsaved and has demonic difficulties, what you need to do is get a bunch of people praying for that person that the Lord would restrain the forces of darkness so that you can witness to them and that they can come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Because when the Holy Spirit comes in, the evil spirits have to go out. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And let me just tell you, while it may be possible to cast out demon spirits, I'm not denying that it may be possible. But you know what happens if you cast demon spirits out of an unsaved person? You know what's going to happen? There's other demons that are going to see that, oh, this is a clean place. And they're going to come back in more powerful than they ever were before. So don't get caught up in all of that sort of things. What the Lord Jesus Christ is able to save those who are possessed with demon spirits. There needs to be a lot of prayer. Hedge of protection prayed around that person. That person needs to be witnessed to. And they need to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And the Lord will take care of that. Now, today, Christian kids, for a while there, and there's something, the Twilight series and all that kind of stuff is coming on. But we're reading J.K. Rowling stuff, the Harry Potter stuff, and they really like that. Do you realize, and I have reports of that, the Harry Potter series introduced so many young people into the occult that it is literally amazing. There's Christian schools that allowed, I constantly get telephone calls, there's Christian schools that allowed Harry Potter books to be read for book reports, and Harry Potter is graphically witchcraft. You say, well, yeah, but it's good witchcraft against bad witchcraft. Wait a minute. There isn't such a thing as good witchcraft. You don't find that in the scripture. In Ephesus, very, very interesting. Last year I went to Turkey, visited the seven churches of Asia Minor. You'll be seeing all the slides of that when we do our evening vacation Bible school on the book of Revelation, the seven churches in Asia Minor, and going to Ephesus. Ephesus particularly was a hotbed of occultism, a hotbed of idolatry. All kinds of Greek pagan gods and goddess, as were many of the other of the seven churches of Asia Minor. But when people turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what they were told to do with their occult paraphernalia? Turn with me to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, verse 19 and 20. And here it is. Many of them also, which used the curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. That's over $1 million worth of stuff by rendering up today. So you know what the Christians did? The curious arts. That's the occult arts. You know what I tell you to do? Get all the occult games, get all the occult books, get all the occult magazines, get all of the occult-oriented reading material, get all that kind of garbage out of yourself, and the best thing you can do with it is not throw it in the junk, but it's to tear it up, shred it, and or burn it. It's the same today. Some people get so aggravated at me because I just do not think that you should be letting your kids watch the horror movies. They're often very occult-oriented, and comes near Halloween, and you got all these graphic, gruesome, occultic things that come on TV, and all the axe murders and the chainsaw murders. Oh, man, if you'd ever been in my shoes, you wouldn't care for that stuff at all! When I was on the rescue squad, I saw the gore. I saw what happens when people take their life. I saw what happens when people get murdered. I saw what happens when people blow their heads off with shotguns. It is not funny at all. It is gruesome and hideous, as the devil is gruesome and hideous. And there's people who are addicted to that stuff. And the games that are on today are showing that kind of stuff. And it's getting in our kids' heads and it's getting in our kids' minds. And it's not leading them to the Bible. It's leading them to the evil one. You say you're passionate about that. Yeah, I've seen it wreck so many lives, friends. Well, let's move on from one wonderful thing to another. Sexual transgressions are also the highest form of abomination. They are likewise called to Abah. And there's just a long list. We already saw that the general lifestyle in Proverbs 15:9, the way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord. But let's get down to specifics. Adultery and incest. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 11 says, "And one hath committed an abomination with his neighbor's wife, and another hath lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law, and another indeed hath humbled his sister, his father's daughter." You have all of this kind of things that we see in the Old Testament, and you have similar things in the New Testament. We could consider the entire perverted sexual spectrum in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 16 through 30. And while in Leviticus chapter 18, in fact, I want you to turn there, Leviticus 18, 6 through 30, each individual sexual transgression is not considered as an abomination, they are all considered an abomination by God. And the reason I know this is verse 26, 27, and 29. You know, I hate to even talk about these things, but my counseling in the past 15 years, particularly, just about every one of these things has come through my door in one way or another. And if not, then at least in the past 35 years. But Leviticus chapter 18, verse 6. Let's go there. And I'll endeavor, I see we have children, I'll endeavor not to be graphic. None of you, verse 6 of Leviticus 18, shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover the nakedness. I am the Lord. The nakedness of thy father, the nakedness of thy mother, thou shalt not uncover. She is thy mother, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife, your stepmother, if you would, shall thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or the daughter of thy mother. You know, I'm telling you all this because there's so many blended families today, friends. You need to beware. You just need to beware. And then moving on, the nakedness of thy son's daughter or thy daughter's daughter. Just some hideous things that I've had to deal with through the years in relationship to what is categorized as incest. It just is it's an abomination. What can I tell you? It's an abomination. Verse 12, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy near kinswoman. And it goes on and goes on and goes on. And then thou, in verse 19, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanness. Verse 20 says, moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. Adultery seems to be accepted today. It's not accepted by God. It's still an abomination. You got a wife, focus your affections on your wife. You got a husband, focus your affection on your husband. Keep yourself to home. Goodness. And then we come to the real cruddy stuff, verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Yeah, I don't know how much longer it's going to be legal to read that. In the nation we're at, the president has just signed an executive order so that all federal employees can get health insurance and all those benefits there. And then it talks about something abominable as well, relating to beasts and animals, all of that kind of stuff. So it's very clearly an abomination then. It's very clearly an abomination now. This next one, Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. It says here, Deuteronomy 22:5, the women shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord. I remember the day that the guy walked into my office with his wife, not from this church, years ago, about 15 years ago, and gave me a rationalization why a Christian could cross-dress. The only problem was is that person was getting injections too and trying to look like a woman. And, man, 6'3", 300-pound woman? Yeah, you bet. It's an abomination to the Lord. I do believe that there needs to be a distinction between male and female. I think you ought to be able to tell the distinction. I don't think anybody should have to guess the distinction. I believe that that's why it says very clearly that women's long hair is a glory to them, and it's a shame for a man to have long hair. I believe that that's what it's all about. That's one of the distinctions there. You want it to be clearly identified that you're a woman. My wife has chosen, and I'm so thankful, my wife always dresses her culottes. Nobody has to guess that Linda is a woman. She's very, very clearly a woman. She's a woman 365 and a quarter days a year. Nobody has to guess. Now, if she's cleaning the barn with me, I'll put on clothes appropriately so that she can clean the barn. All right, but cross-dressing, prostitution, Deuteronomy 23:17-18. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore, nor the price of a dog, into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow. For even both these are an abomination unto the Lord. When I was early on here, I don't remember whether Leif remembers or not. He was a deacon at the time. But I refused to accept some money from somebody who worked for Miller Brewery. I don't want tainted money. God warns about that. I wouldn't take money from a drug dealer if I knowingly knew it was I wouldn't take money from a prostitute, even if they dropped it in the offering plate. That's an abomination to the Lord, and sexual immorality is an abomination to the Lord. Remarrying a previous spouse. I know it's Old Testament, but remarrying a previous spouse, if there's been a marriage in between, Deuteronomy 24:4 says her former husband, which sent her away, divorced her, may not take her again to be the wife after she is defiled, for this is an abomination to the Lord. There's other transgressions that are considered an abomination. Child sacrifice. We've already mentioned that, so we'll not look at it further, though it is recorded in Psalm 106, 37 and 38. And I think that's exactly what abortion is, as I told you, is child sacrifice. Now down to the nitty-gritty, a false measure. When you're doing business, your business should be honest. You know what? One of the things that I hate, they don't advertise it. If you noticed, a lot of things in the store have been repackaged. They're packaged in the same way, but you start comparing the old box and the new box, and you know what? They're charging the same or more for the product, and the weight is different than it used to be. They're saving money that way. They're shaving that way. False measures are an abomination to the Lord. Somebody warned me at one particular store in town that their change machines consistently give 4 to 10 cents short people on change. So every time I go to that store, I count my change because they're automatic change machines. And then when they're called on, they say, oh, yeah, the machine must just be stuck. You know, okay, maybe it is stuck. I don't know. But God says, you know, when you have this bait and switch advertising, you know what? That's an abomination to the Lord. If you're going to do business, be upfront about it. Tell people honestly what it's going to cost. Don't try to cut the corners. Let it be what it's to be. And there's lots to be said about the false measure in Proverbs. You can see it there. The scheming of the wicked. Proverbs 15:26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. But the words of the pure are pleasant words. There's so many people who are trying to swindle people. Boy, oh boy, I'll tell you what, every week, you know what? I have relatives all over the world who are trying to give me money. I get it all the time. People, this is Barrister Benny Schmuck. And somebody has just left you $20 million. Please respond and give us your name and your telephone number and your bank routing number. You bet. But you know what? That's the scheming of the wicked. And it's getting worse. And folks, it isn't just older people, but older people, beware. If your bank calls you and says there's a problem, baloney on that. You get in your car, or if you can't do it, you call me up, and I'll pick you up, and we'll go there, and we'll talk to somebody at the bank before you give them all of your information, and then find out 2 days later that your whole account has been cleaned out. Because the scheming of the wicked is big time. It's high tech today. People are making millions and millions and millions of dollars swindling honest people, old and young. We need to be careful. Now, you might find this interesting. The prayer of those who refuse to obey God is an abomination. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Persecuting the righteous and supporting the unrighteous. Man, some of our political leaders ought to read this. Proverbs 17:15. He that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. Yeah, you know, it's real tough on heterosexuals today because, you know, we're hate mongers. We're homophobic. Well, wait just a minute. I'm not going to accept an abomination. They can put whatever label that they want to on me. But when God says it's an abomination, it's an abomination. Regardless of what the politicians say, there are 7 abominations, and I've got to move along because I'm not coming back here again. Proverbs 6:16-19, 6 things doth the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. And look what's top on the list. Can you imagine this? This is the highest word for abomination, a proud look. You can look also in Proverbs, it says a proud heart. If you got an inflated idea of your own importance, beware. It's an abomination. It stinks in the nostrils of the Lord. He hates it. God resisteth the what? Proud. But he gives grace to the humble. A proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. Oh, there we are again. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to run to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. These are all examples of the strongest word abomination to Abah. Now you can look at the two lesser words that relate to abomination or transferred abomination, but I want to skip right to the New Testament quickly and then be done. There's several passages in the New Testament, 1 Peter 4:3, Athemetos is a word that's translated abominable in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lived a shameful, immoral life. That's what lasciviousness is. Lust, excess of wine, partying, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatry. This word, athemetos, it means illegal or unlawful things. The law referred to here is the law of God, and so what it's relating to is abominable idolatries or false worships. Then we come to the revelation words. Revelation words, it's a different word. It says in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. Bedelagma means here to emit a foul odor, to turn away through loathing or disgust, to abhor. Oh, there's some things that are hard to smell. And if think of the worst thing that you want to smell. And that's the idea of what it is before God. Revelation 21:7, it says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whosoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Finally, the last occurrence is Revelation chapter 17, verse 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her head was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. What do you have here? Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon, you go back to Babylon and you see all the mystery religions. And you know what? That's where all of the occult and, quote, sacred prostitution and all the immorality and false worship emanates from, back in Babylon. And the New Age, all the stuff comes there. And Mystery Babylon has slowly but surely corrupted the Roman Catholic Church. It's so slowly but surely corrupted the Lutheran Church. It's slowly but surely corrupting the Methodist Church. It's slowly but surely corrupting the Baptist Church. It's so slowly but surely corrupting Christianity today as Christians compromise with the world's religions. We're headed towards a one world religion, friends. Now, I wish the rapture would come tonight. But you see what? While it's going to completely turn over to this mystery religion in the seven-year tribulation time, you can't deny it that we're living in the Laodicean era of the church right now. Churches, for the most part, aren't telling the truth. They've compromised the Word of God. They have turned their back on the Lord God of the Bible. They teach a fuzzy, good-feeling messages. They don't warn their people. And so the church is neither hot nor cold. They go around and they raise their hands high and they sing about Jesus and they do their jigs on the platform and their worship group swallow their microphones and they have all kinds of wonderful entertainment. As the people swallow the humanistic philosophies, the hedonistic philosophies, the pantheistic philosophies, and they all do it in the name of Jesus. But it's not the Jesus of the Bible. It's the Jesus of the New Age. And we just need to beware. We need to stick to this book. We need to hold to the truth. We need to be salt and light in this Laodicean age. But I hate it when I see our people, little by little, they're getting picked off. They're getting picked off. You know why? They're not strong in the Lord and the power of His might. They're not in the Word of God. They're Sunday morning Christians. And another one just recently, picked off by the world. And you stand up here and you preach your heart out and you warn them. And where's it going? I have no idea. If I shined a flashlight in here, it must shine out here on the other side. Because nothing's sticking in between. I can't force you to do anything, but I can teach the truth. And then you need to be a doer of the truth. But pray for me. Pray for Pastor Darrell. I love preaching, but it isn't getting easy. The kind of stuff that I'm having to deal with, it makes me sick. And many other pastors the same way, too. And so stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be firmly founded. Let Jesus be your anchor. Amen. Don't find yourself in the first half of Proverbs 15:9. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord. Find yourself in the second half. But he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Let's pray.